This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
For many in today's postmodern, secular, and humanistic times, the Bible has become viewed as an outdated, old-fashioned, and archaic document filled with a lot of irrelevant and unrelated, inconsequential information. Many, frankly, see no connection to our 21st century environment. They simply believe the Bible is not germane in today's times of moral relevance. But what if you could prove the Bible is indeed true from real sources apart from the scriptures? Interestingly enough, archaeology is filled with validations of ancient events. Written in the obelisks of kings and cuneiform tablets of ancient empires like Babylon and Persia. By these external sources, incredibly, the Bible is confirmed by these political kings of the time which ruled empires outside of Israel. And these leaders validate the writings of prophetic scripture in the Bible from the very actual records of their own kingdoms. Stay with us as we explore some of these facts, proving your Bible to be true.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad that you can join us for today's program. What I want to talk about today is support for Scripture. Now, I have faith in Scripture. I believe Scripture is truth. So the gist of this program is for those out there who don't believe in the Bible. Now, those of you watching may be Bible believers, but you may have friends, you may have relatives, you may have people you know who have a scientific mindset who don't necessarily believe in the Bible. The Bible tells us we've got to take this gospel to everyone. I believe we can use archaeology as a tool to help us make the Bible come alive to some people who may not necessarily want to get into a conversation about the Bible. Now, when we talk about evidence, we can talk about eyewitness evidence. We can talk about videotape evidence. And when we think of the Bible, other than faith, other than revealed prophecy, other than the idea that when you look at nature, you know there's got to be a creator because of its complexity, what can we use to get to those with a scientific mindset? I believe archaeology can be one of those things. Now, we're going to talk about that today, and hopefully this will have some effect on some of the folks out there who have a postmodernist type of a mindset also. And postmodernists believe that your opinion on something is as good as anybody else's opinion on something, that there is no ultimate truth, that knowledge, their theory of knowledge is that there is no knowledge or no facts, but only interpretations. Now, I think that can take you down a negative road. And hopefully, if we can get some of those folks into a conversation of the Bible, they may begin to see these other facets that help us prove the Bible to ourselves other than just archaeology. But again, we're going to focus on that topic of archaeology for today's program. Now, before I do that, what I want to do is offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD. What we're offering today, free of charge, is the CD, The Bible and Archaeology. this CD will address many more items than I will address today. In fact, most of the information in this CD is different from what you will hear on today's program. We also want to offer you our home Bible study course, edition number one, Understanding Repentance. Once you complete this edition, ask for edition two, and you can continue to receive other editions of this home Bible study course. To get both these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to that website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Thanks for joining us on today's program. What we are talking about today is how archaeology can help support what we read in the pages of our Bible. It is hard evidence. It is evidence you could take into a court of law. People can look at it, touch it, test it, and know that it is reliable as a piece of evidence to support the Bible. Many of us, like me, have faith in the Bible. We believe that it is the Word of God. But we want to bring this message not only to people who believe it, but to people who don't necessarily believe it. Hopefully, we can bring them into a conversation where the Bible can open up to them and all these major truths that we understand can become more apparent to them through the mechanism of the Bible being supported by archaeology and that particular record. Now, to do that, what I want to do is I want to address some aspects of archaeology, some things that have been excavated that help support the record that we have in the Bible. And the first example I want to get to has to do with David. Now, why do I bring up David? At one time, biblical critics stated that David cannot be a real person because we have not found him anywhere in the archaeological record up until that time in history. Since that time, we have found, through archaeological excavations, the house of David mentioned within what we've dug up from the ground. And let me explain what we mean by the house of David. The house is the lineage or the relatives of a particular person who follow him after he has died. So when David died, what happened in ancient Israel was his son took over, and after him, his son took over. So you will hear this phrase, the house of David, and it pertains to the lineage coming from David of people who were ruling Israel and Judah at the time in history after David. So that's important when we look at some of the evidence that I'm going to describe right now. Now, to do this, I'd like to turn in the Bible to 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 4. And let me read a verse to you here. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep breeder, and he regularly paid the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. Now, what do we learn from this scripture? What we learn is that Mesha was the king of a place called Moab, and he was paying tribute to the king of Israel. In other words, the king of Israel had power, had sway over this particular individual. Now, does that conform with what we know from history and what we know in the Bible? Well, yes, it does. Because what we find is that In archaeology, there was a basalt stela of Mysia. And what we mean by a stela is basically a slab of stone that they used to inscribe things on. And on this particular basalt stela of Mysia, obviously, it was writing about the king of Moab named Mysia, and it talked about the house of David. And we also know that Mysia was around in the 9th century B.C. Now, does that conform with Scripture? Yes, it does. We know that David was around from about 1040 B.C. to 983 B.C. Mysia was around in the 800s B.C., the 9th century B.C. So obviously, mentioning the house of David and not David himself conforms to what Scripture tells us, that Mysia came after David rather than before David or in David's time. Another thing that's interesting about this particular stela is it also conforms to the fact that it's using the phrase the house of David. After David reigned and ruled, his sons began to reign and rule, and that kind of language would fit exactly with who the ruler of the king of Israel would have been at this particular time. I'd like to also mention another stela that predates the basalt stela of Mysia. This is called the Tel Dan stela, and it's called that because it was discovered in Tel Dan. This is an area in northern Israel. It's kind of around the area of Galilee, and Galilee obviously is related to in your Bible as an area that Jesus was in. Now, in this Tel Dan stela, what is found there is the first mention anywhere in archaeology of the house of David. So once again, we have another source besides the Tel Dan stela from another part of the Middle East that conforms to exactly what's in the Tel Dan stela with the stela of Mysia. And what we find in this fragmentary inscription in the Tel Dan stela is it talks about the victory of an Aramean king over the king of Israel and over the king of the house of David. Now, this is even more interesting from this standpoint. When you read the biblical record, you find that the Bible talks about the nation of Israel after David splitting into two. One kingdom in the north, 10 tribes, and a kingdom in the south, 2 tribes, known as the kingdom of Judah in the south and the kingdom of Israel in the north. So from this stela at Tel Dan, we have confirmation of one of the big stories in the Old Testament, which was the splitting of the nation of Israel into two parts. The Bible tells you that story, and archaeology confirms that that story occurred if you want to believe in archaeology. And you can touch it, you can feel it, you can look at it, and you can talk to scholars of a scientific mindset who will tell you, yes, this is true, this is what I believe, that the nation of Israel split into two, just like the Bible tells you. So I think that people of a scientific mind, people who don't believe in the Bible, will acknowledge that, hey, maybe there's something to those who were writing about this history that's in the Bible. Now, what I'd like to do in the remainder of the program is I want to mention Biblical Archaeology Review magazine, because some of the information I'm going to discuss right now pertains to some articles that have been written in that magazine over the years. One of the more recent articles that's been written talks about 3 new individuals named in the Bible who scholars now confirm are believed to be true biblical figures, because archaeology confirms that those individuals were named in the time and place that the Bible names them. Now, that is very significant because Biblical Archaeology Review had an article a number of years ago that was titled something along the lines of 50 names from the Bible confirmed by archaeology. We can now add three more names that scholars believe are confirmed by archaeology and are in your Bible. And I want to talk about those three new individuals who are being added to this list. And what you will see, if you study into archaeology and how it relates to the Bible, you will see year after year after year, as archaeologists begin to excavate more, they continue to prove the biblical record rather than disprove it. And believe me, folks, there are people out there who want to disprove the biblical record. Thus far, archaeology has not been able to do that. Rather, it confirms the biblical record. So let's take a look at who these individuals are. And one of them is going to be mentioned over in the book of Ezra. And I just need to set this up a little bit, give you some context as to what we're going to be addressing here. Now, what's going on in the book of Ezra is the Jews who were taken into Babylonian captivity have returned to their land because Persia's King Cyrus overtook the Babylonian kingdom and took control of the known world at that time. And what he did was he allowed the Jews who had been taken captive by Babylon to return to their land. And he also allowed them to set up their temple, to reconstruct their temple back in their land. Now, keep that in mind as I begin to talk about what's in Scripture and then what archaeology has discovered. I'm going to turn to Ezra chapter 5 and verse 3, and here's what it says. At the same time, Tatanai, the governor of the region beyond the river. Now, some translations of the Bible will say, rather than the region beyond the river, they will write in there, Trans-Euphrates. And I just want to add this. Trans-Euphrates was known as a province within Persia at this time. So keep that in mind. The governor of the region beyond the river and Shethar Bozni and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them. Who has commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall? Now, the individual that we're going to confirm here is Tatanai. Now, the Bible seems to say that this individual is some type of official within the Persian kingdom. And that is what archaeology has found. Within a tablet to Darius the First. Now, Darius was the king at this time over Persia. And within one of his tablets that archaeologists have discovered, what they have found is there was a governor over the region of Trans-Euphrates, and his name was Tatanai. So this is significant. Archaeology, Darius the First's tablet, is confirming what the Bible has to say and what was occurring in the same time frame. Because here's the other part of the evidence. The tablet was dated to 502 BC. Darius is said to have reigned between 520 and 486 BC. And within this province of Trans-Euphrates, within the Persian record, it says that one part of this province was a place called Yehud, which is the same name as what we call Judah within your Bible. So once again, we see through archaeology a confirmation exactly on point to what the Bible is saying. It's got the guy's name. It's got the dates correct. It's got the king correct. It's got the job that this guy has correct. Check, check, check. If you're a scientifically minded person, do something with that evidence. Take a look at what conservative scholars are saying about the Bible. Take the challenge. Look at what the other side says about the Bible. Don't just take the liberal view. Don't just listen to the biblical scholars who don't even believe in the Bible anymore. And there are many of them out there today. Listen to some of the scholars who do believe this is the Word of God. See what they have to say. Don't just look at one side of the story. Look at both. And believe you me, I have looked at both sides of this equation. And that's part of the reason why I do believe this is the Word of God. Take my challenge. Give this challenge to a friend or loved one who doesn't believe in the Bible. See what they begin to talk about with you on this particular matter. Now, I've got a couple other names I want to address. These will take us into the previous kingdom, which was the Babylonian kingdom. These two names were high officials within the Babylonian court. One name was Nergal-Sharezer. I know that's a tough one. The other one's a little bit easier, Nebuzaradan. Now, I'm going to show you where these individuals are in your Bible, but where we found them in archaeology was in cuneiform, and cuneiform is just an ancient form of writing, cuneiform inscriptions that were found in excavations of ancient Babylon. Let me show you where we find these guys mentioned in your Bible. Over in Jeremiah 39 and verse 3, Jeremiah 39, 3, "Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer," that's the one we were talking about, "Samgar-Nebo, Sarsachim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer," now that's slightly different than the guy we're talking about, "and Rabmag with the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon." So we know from the biblical record that this individual was definitely a high official within Babylon, which is confirmed by Babylonian cuneiform inscriptions. Now, what about that second individual, Nebuzaradan? Drop with me down to verse 9 of this same chapter. "Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city and those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained." Verse 10 then mentions Nebuzaradan again. Now, the captain of the guard would be a high official within this Babylonian kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar II. So there's no doubt that we see Nebuzaradan there, and we have another place where we find Nebuzaradan mentioned in the biblical record in a different book. And that's important because the Bible is different books that were put together over many years by different people through, I believe, the Spirit of God. So having another book of the Bible, which was probably written by someone else, confirming what you find in another book, remember, these books weren't given out today like you get Bibles. It was hard to find these scriptures in ancient times. Notice another book, 2 Kings 25 and verse 8, mentioning Nebuzaradan once again. 2 Kings 25 verse 8. "Now in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar," again, confirmation, king of Babylon, "Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant or high official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem." So once again, this is why these three names have been added to that list of 50 people that scholars confirm are supported by the archaeological record and the biblical record. They are congruent. They do come together for those particular scholars. Now again, I don't need those scholars to prove the Bible to me, but What I want to mention is there are people out there that you may know who don't believe in the Bible. And we can use information like some of the information I've provided today to maybe get these people into a conversation. And once you get them into that conversation, it's easier to get them into that next conversation about the complexity of nature, the amazing things scientists are discovering about the microscopic world that makes us all up and how there has to be a creator behind it. Many scientists today are confirming this, are agreeing with it as we learn more and more about the human body and about nature and about DNA. Again, the Bible is something that's important to me, but I want it to be important to other people also, regardless of whether or not they are believers in the Bible now or not. I want to be ready to give an answer, just like Scripture tells me I need to be ready to give an answer about Scripture. Those of you that believe in postmodernism, that believe anybody's opinion is as good as anybody else's opinion, really think about that, folks. Think about that. In this case, how could that really be true when you really start to look at evidence and understand what's going on in the world, that anybody's interpretation is as good as anybody else's on some of these matters? It just doesn't hold water for me. And I believe an intelligent person out there thinking logically will come to the conclusion that it doesn't hold water for them. Remember, we want you to get that free CD, which is titled The Bible and Archaeology, which will give you about 50 minutes worth of information that I have not even discussed today. We also want you to get that free home Bible study course. Remember, ask for edition number one, which is titled Understanding Repentance. Once you complete that, you can move on to the following issues that we have, and we have over a dozen of those particular Bible study correspondence courses. To get both those items free of charge, call toll-free 1-888-578-8791 or go to our website, www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.